chief priest of Israel is now seated at the right hand of God. This is a different thing. He's seated. There was no seat in the earthly tabernacle. No seat. I'm going to tell you about this soon, like in about 8 seconds. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. That's right. There was no seat, no piece of furniture like any kind of reclining thing in either the tabernacle in the wilderness or in the temple because it was never completed. But listen to this. We're in Hebrews chapter 8 now. How about us? We're all the way in chapter 8, and there's only 13 chapters in this book. And I'm going to do Revelation after this, getting geared up for that. But listen to this. 8:1. Hebrews. Now, this is the sum of what is being said. Such a chief priest have we who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the holy places and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitches and not a human. The true tabernacle. This tells us that the tabernacle in the wilderness was only a picture, only a suggestion. I'm not saying that there wasn't a big deal made of it. Of course it was a big deal. It was God communicating something to this chosen nation, Israel. Remember, in a way, Israel is a guinea pig nation. Now, I'm talking concerning us. I told you I'm going to contrast Israel's call with our call. They're a guinea pig nation in a way to show that flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. So God set up this technical, detailed tabernacle in the wilderness and later an actual cement, brick and mortar temple. And it was to teach humanity that flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. Now we stand on Israel's shoulders and we take it from there. We start from their failure. We start there. We're not supposed to go back and learn the lesson by experience that flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. Romans 8. No, we're to learn that from Israel's experience and then not have to repeat it. That's the ideal. But of course, Christianity loves to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and never learn the lesson. The true tabernacle is in the heavens, and the true high priest is in the heavens. All these humanoids like Aaron, they were just almost like a dress rehearsal. I know I've used that phrase before, or just a shadow, the dimmest glimmer, and yet a glimmer nonetheless, of a gigantic divine order of things in which the chief priest will perfectly accomplish. Now let's just go to verse 2. For every chief priest is constituted to offer both approach presents and sacrifices. By the way, I still haven't gotten with Dan Sheridan. I told you I was going to answer that point about why it said in Hebrews chapter 7 that the high priests offered daily sacrifices for their own sins. And yet we know that once a year, sins the propitiation was made for the sins of the entire people. So I'm going to straighten that out for you as soon as I get it straightened out for myself, and I haven't done that yet. For every chief priest is constituted to offer both approach presents and sacrifices, whence it is necessary for this one also to have something which he may offer. Wow, yeah, and we talked about that yesterday. He offered himself. There still has to be an offering. And in the old way of doing things, the offering was the animals. And the priests offered them up. They slit the throats, offered it, washed their hands, ate the sacrifice, and went home. Yet he offered himself. Now listen to this in verse 4. Indeed then, if he were on earth, he would not even be a priest. And we've talked about this, but I'm telling you, the writer of Hebrews is bringing it up again because it's got to be such a radical concept for these Hebrews to know that the priesthood is changing hands. There's a transference here from Aaron to Melchizedek, and he's bringing it up again. If he were on earth, he would not even be a priest, there being those who offer approach presence according to the law, who by an example and shadow are offering the divine service of the celestials. Now this is very interesting. There is a divine service in the celestials. Now everything on earth happens is a model or is a reflection of things that happen in heaven. If there's warfare in heaven, there's warfare on earth. If there's jurisdictions in heaven, principalities, powers, there are reflective principalities, powers, jurisdictions on the earth. We on earth are a reflection, a result, let's say that, of what is happening in the heavens. Now, are you hearing this? They are offering the priests of Israel, Aaron, these mortal men were offering a divine service of the celestials. It wasn't in the celestials, it was of the celestials, according as Moses has been apprised when about to be completing the tabernacle. For see, he is averring that you shall be making all in accord with a model shown you in the mountain. Let's talk about this for a second. Moses was shown a model. When he went to the top of Mount Sinai, picture him. He's climbing a mountain, literally, in sandals. Now, I used to live in Colorado, and I remember hiking on Pikes Peak, and I had these light shoes, but I tried to imagine doing it in sandals. Now, the last Pikes Peak is 14,110 feet. It's one of the 54 14,000-foot peaks in Colorado, Pikes Peak. And I remember doing the last 200 yards of Pikes Peak, and it's very rocky. It's like Category 2 climbing. I mean, you don't need ropes or anything, but it's a boulder field, and it's very steep. And I pictured Mount Sinai. When I was up there, I pictured Moses scrambling up the mountain. And you know what people die of most in Colorado? You know what number one cause of death is? What's your guess? No, not falling from the mountain. No. Nope, not dehydration. No, not drinking too much Coors Light. It's not. None of that's true. You know what it is? Lightning strikes. Yeah, at the altitude, lightning strikes. It's bare ground. You're above timberline. If you get a lightning storm, and a friend of mine was in a lightning storm on Pikes Peak, Michael Broussard, and he said it was the scariest thing he ever experienced. He had to flatten. He was with like two or three other people. They flattened themselves on the ground, and this lightning was like everywhere, and they thought they were going to die. So I picture Moses in his sandals climbing Mount Sinai, which was probably a lot like Pikes Peak, the thunder and the lightning, and he had to have the hairs on the back of his neck had to be standing up. And when he was up there, he saw a model. Messengers, angels, celestial beings showed him a model of the tabernacle that he was supposed to build. I believe, some may disagree with me, but we know that there is a celestial Jerusalem. There's divine service. Let's just look at this first. There's divine service of the celestials. There is some sort of divine service. I don't know if it's a strict tabernacle system, but there's some sort of divine service in heaven. And Moses was shown a model, and based on the model, he was shown whether it was a curtain opened up and he saw this vista, or he saw an actual temple. I don't know, but he saw something, and he was to build the earthly tabernacle, the tent that contained curtains and curtain rods and animal skins. Very, 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 very primitive version of some magnificent thing he was shown. And the only thing I can think of to compare this to is Jesus Christ. Obviously, if we could have seen Jesus Christ at the right hand of God before he came to earth, the glory would blind us. I mean, Saul saw his glory on the road to Damascus. He was blind, knocked as a dead man to the ground, eating dust because of the glory, and he was blind. And that glory became a human being that was the most ordinary human being, in fact, subordinary human being that you could ever imagine. And so that's the scaled-down version. Jesus Christ on earth, the minister of the circumcision, Romans 15:8, was a scaled-down version of the glorified Christ. Likewise, this tabernacle built in the wilderness was a scaled-down miniature version, humbled version of something magnificent in the celestials. And Moses saw this, and he was told to build his little tent in accord with the model that he saw. For see, he is averring that you shall be making all in accord with a model shown you in the mountain. All right, let's backtrack a little bit. Let's review, since we got all celestial there, and I'm really excited about that, and that there we know from Ephesians 6 there are sovereignties and authorities, world mights of good and of darkness. Paul speaks of the ones of darkness in Ephesians chapter 6. Likewise, we have evil people on this earth. They are being animated by the celestial powers of darkness because it's a pattern. Just as Moses was shown a pattern of some kind of celestial divine service and built a earthly tabernacle, thus also the presidents, the prime ministers, the leaders, the caliphs, the priests, whatever, of this era are based on sovereignties and authorities in that realm, the celestial realm. So the tabernacle furniture never included a seat because the high priest's work was never completed. He never sat down in the holy places. He shook with fear because he was afraid of doing anything wrong. Compare that to Christ, who is seated in this chapter, 8:1, 8:2, seated at the right hand of the majesty. That would have been a shocking picture for an Israelite. A striking contrast. Some new order has come. His work is now finished, and he's seated. Israel, the Hebrews, need to embrace the finished work of Christ. Needless to say, we do. So the sanctuary now is heaven itself. It's heaven itself. It's coming from heaven. Not saying the Hebrews are going to heaven, but the Christ is coming from heaven. Their high priest is coming from heaven. He's the very Son of God. His priestly work began after his ascension. Contrast this, his ascension in heaven. Aaron's priesthood was initiated at Sinai. I just talked to you about how Moses went up this mountain, this rock field, probably the last 200 feet of Sinai. I've never been up there. I've never climbed Mount Sinai. All I can compare it to is the only mountain I have climbed, which was Pikes Peak in Colorado. And I'm thinking that it was just as rough for him. And this is where the Aaronic priesthood was instituted. A pile of rocks, a rock field, a rock-strewn mountain. Contrast that with the chief priest in heaven itself. And we cannot even imagine the glory of heaven. Moses saw it. Moses saw the glory of heaven, partly. Paul saw more. And so what a contrast. This earthly copy of the tabernacle that Moses was given, it was given to teach a lesson of God's righteousness. And I've said this to you over and again, and I've said it at conferences, is that we're to see how awesome the majesty of God is with all the curtains in the tabernacle. Curtains, curtains, curtains. One man, once a year, in the holy place, shaking with fear at the Shekinah glory. That was a setup. It was a setup to see how awesome is His majesty. And now we have access with confidence. Ephesians chapter 2, access with confidence to the Father Himself. But this tabernacle system was supposed to teach us God's holiness and our unfitness to stand in His presence, our distance from Him, and that He had a way to approach Him, and you better approach Him according to His way. There were rules, there were strict regulations. You better do it His way or you're dead. Only that preface, only that backdrop can make us appreciate the fact that we have access with confidence to Him. So tomorrow I want to talk to you about the covenants. This tabernacle, the heavenly one, is not associated with the covenant and promises which came from Sinai. In other words, the heavenly tabernacle is not according to the old covenant. Hate that word testament, it's covenant. Not associated with it at all. That's why there's not only going to be a transference of priesthood, but a transference of covenant. We have a new mediator. New, better, better, better. Those are the words in Hebrews. Keep that in mind as we close here. New, better, better, better. New, better, better, better. This is especially true of the new covenant, which He will make when the kingdom of Israel commences. New covenant hasn't even happened yet, and Israel's not even been born again yet. There's not one person who's been born again. Born again is not an individual matter, a good Hebrew here, a good Hebrew there. Certainly not a member of the nations, but it has to do with the nation being born again at once. Love this detail. Love this knowledge. I love Israel. Can't wait for her to come into the promises. And you and I are going to see it, but we're going to see it from our air-conditioned offices in the celestial realm.